breathing tubes, life support, everything. But the Lord gave me a promise, and he said that he knew him before he was even in my womb, and that he knew all the days that he would take before he even took one. And so I just held on to that promise. And during this time, God really held my heart. Never once did I have that fear that my son would die. Like, that was just never a thought in my mind that I could lose my son. Well, fast forward 5 years, and I'm laying in bed, and I get woken up out of bed, and I feel like this weight is on my shoulders. And the only way I can really explain it is like this gut-wrenching fear. I had this horrible fear that my son's heart was going to stop and he was going to die. And so our room's here, and we have this really long hall, and then you have our kids' two rooms down here. And so I got up out of bed, I ran across the hallway, and I made sure he was breathing like all moms do. And I was like, okay, he's fine. So then I woke up the next night. Happened again. The next night, happened again. It's probably happened for almost 5 nights. And by the 5th night, I just remember walking across the hall, and I just stopped, and I thought, what the heck are you doing, Marnie? Like, why are you allowing this thought to take over? And so right then and there, I just said, Lord, my son is a child of God. You gave me a promise. You love him. You will take care of him. I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. And I have not had that fear since. And so I... Thank you. So I'm in the middle of praise and worship, and we're singing that song, I am a child of God. You've drowned my fears in your perfect love. And I just started to cry. And it just reminded me that God had drowned all my fears in his love. He went to that cross and he died so that I didn't have to have this fear. So here we are in the I Am Christian series. And I would like, you know, we've been talking about what it is to be a Christian, all this stuff. And I'd like to talk to you about tonight, I am a child of God. And what does that mean for us? In Galatians 3:26, it says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were born into Christ have put on Christ. And then in Ephesians 1:4, it says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to adoption to sonship or daughtership through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loved. And I just, you know, going back to that story, I'm just reminded, like, I am a child of God. As soon as you become saved or born again, you become a Christian, as we were talking about in a series, you become a child of God. And so, one, when you are a child of God, you can have what your father has. You just have to ask. Turn with me to Luke 11. You know, how many of you in here are parents? And then we only have two? Really? In the whole place? I was going to say, oh my gosh. So we have a few parents in here. Well, other ones that aren't parents. Maybe you have a niece or a nephew or a little brother or a little sister or somebody in your life who maybe you have kind of parented, or maybe you've kind of watched and helped raise that child. Or we all have parents, right? Whether they were good or bad, we all have parents. So, you know, me as a parent, I have a house, I have a car. My kids call, that's my house, that's my car. You know, if we're at the mall shopping and my son said, Mom, I want a Happy Meal. Will you buy me chicken nuggets and fries? All of a sudden, my money becomes his money. I would go and buy him fries. So it says here in Luke 11, verse 9, says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And in the message it says, don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. think a lot of the times we try to do life alone, or we try to do life our way. We think that we just have to be stuck in the situation that we're in, stuck in the temptation, stuck in the anxiety, stuck in the depression, stuck in the finances. You just think that you have to be stuck where you are. Well, the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And you can be free from these things such as finances, anxiety, stress, sickness, depression, whatever it is you're going through. But what I think you don't realize is that you have a daddy up in heaven who wants a relationship with you, who loves you, who wants to draw you close and take care of you. You know, the Bible says that he knows what you have need of before you even ask. You know, I know that my children need water, but it's not until my son comes up to me and says, Mom, can I have water? That I'll go get a water bottle, open it, and give it to my son. You know, he knows what you need. He's just waiting for you to come and ask. And what I think of when I think of, you know, doing life alone or doing life your way, I think of it like, here we are, you know, the praise and worship team is up here and they're calling you to the altar. Come, leave your cares, your worries, give them to God. So here I go, I got my finance problem and I sit there and I'm on my knees and I'm praising God and I'm like, okay, Lord, I give my finances to you. I can't do it anymore. Take them, Lord, do with it what you want. And you go away and you feel so good and you're like, okay, God, you're going to take care of my finances. And then tomorrow comes, your electric bill's due. Oh, I only have $50. It's $100. What am I doing? You just run back and you just take what you just left for God. You asked him for his help, but you didn't leave it there for him to actually help you. He knows that you need help with your finances. He knows you need help with depression or temptation, whatever it is, but he just wants you to go leave it there. Ask him to help you with it. And two, what does it mean to be a child of God? His power and authority is my power and authority. I forget, and sometimes I don't realize how big my God is. Turn with me to Luke 10. And you know, the Bible says that God came to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. You know, he's a big God. He literally took his son out of heaven, placed him here to be a baby, to be just like us, so that he would die for us, for the best of us, for the worst of us. And here in Luke 10, verse 19, it says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all of the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. It doesn't say that he came so that we could be trampled on by the enemy. It says that he came so that you and I can trample on the enemy. I think one of the, you know, I always hear my husband say, I know he got it from someone else, but that the enemy's tactics, you did, I know. Sorry, I always say, where did that come from? I made it up. You did? But, you know, the enemy's tactics are thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. And, you know, I would never say that I feel that I have an attack or have been attacked by the enemy. Like, I've never felt like I've had an attack from the enemy. But this fear that I kept waking up with every single night, it was an attack from the enemy. But you know what? He took that thought. He put it in my mind and it was me. It was me who fed it. It was me who watered it. It was me who let it grow. Instead of taking up God's authority and saying, no, devil, that's not something. God gave me a promise. My son will live. I took that thought and I ran with it. And it wasn't until I realized that I am a child of God. My son is a child of God, that he holds his world in his hands. It wasn't until I actually took up his authority that I realized that I'm not going to let this take hold. So I think that we need to stand up and take our authority, realize that we have power to overcome the enemy. You know, the Bible is full of I ams, not I am nots. And so I think you need to believe in who you are and who God wants you to be. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, in Christ, I am a new creation. John 1:12, I am a child of God. Psalms 139:14, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. 2 Corinthians 5:20, I am an ambassador of Christ. Romans 6:18, I am set free from sin. Colossians 3:12, I am a chosen one. Ephesians 1:7, I am redeemed. So when you're going through things like depression, you don't feel good about yourself, you feel depressed, why don't you pull up that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When you're going through temptation, why don't you think, I am set free from sin. There are so many promises in the Bible for your life. It's just a matter of you getting up, picking it up, and taking your authority in Christ and not letting the enemy take a hold of you. And in 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is greater in you is greater than he who is in the world. And my last point here, he paid it all. The debts are beyond our ability to ever pay. We deserve death. Jesus came down and died on that cross so that we could have life. So that we could have life more abundantly. God, this has been stirring on my heart for like months now. And I'm thankful anytime I have anything stirring, he's like, do you want to preach it? You know, I always said no, and I finally did it. And now I'm just like, okay, God, like if it's stirring in me, somebody else needs this. And I think somebody in here needs to remember that God came and he died for you. He died so that you could have life. And a lot of times we're sitting back and we're doing life, but we're not really doing life how God would like us to do. I think that we're just going through the motions. We're just going through life, but God wants more for you. God wants you to know that you are a child of God. You can overcome anything that you are going through. And I found this video that they're going to go ahead and play, and I could not explain it any better than this video. So go ahead and pay attention to the screen.
We see the story of Jesus going to the cross, and everything seems to kind of be hand in hand. And then there's this one character that seems to interrupt the narrative. His name's Barabbas. We don't even know much about him except that he's a murderer, a leader of an insurrection, a rebel. And why he's even mentioned, sometimes I'm not so sure. It's like, what? This is about Jesus going to the cross. So in this moment, Pilate thinks, I hold the destinies of these two men in my hand. I know the Jews have a tradition that on a holy day, I will release one of the prisoners on death row. Pilate stands on this audacious stage, who now presents Jesus, Son of the Living God, versus Barabbas, the thug and rebel. He says, all right, who do you want? This is blasphemy. This has gone too far. There's no comparison. This is a rightful prisoner, a man who should be on death row. He's a rebel against Rome. He leads a rebellion. He murders people. He's a bad man. He's a thug and he's a crook. He deserves the chains and he deserves the crucifixion. Jesus, what has he done but heal, restore, deliver, set free, open blind eyes, open deaf ears, heal the lame and the leper? What has Jesus done? Who do you want? We want Barabbas. Yeah, give us Barabbas. They give us Barabbas. The Roman soldiers come up and they put the key in and they unlock Barabbas from his chains and shackles, and he walks down the platform welcomed by all of his thug friends. Yeah, the people love me. Yeah, that's right. I don't even know who this Jesus guy is, but all I know is my people love me. There seems to be no conscience in Barabbas. There's no record of him turning to Jesus and saying, I owe you everything now, for you have set me free. No, I don't see any of that in Barabbas. And God knew that. Jesus stood there, silent, for he knew the will of the Father. He said, it's fine, Father. Let him have Barabbas. For Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. Barabbas thought it was the people that set him free. No, 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 no. It was the love of the Heavenly Father. Barabbas really is. Barabbas. That's me. That's you. That's us. And I thought, I was reading this the other day, and I felt God speak to me. I love Barabbas. I love him. But God, he's a bad man. I love him. And I wanted him to go free. But didn't you know that he probably would have never acknowledged the free kid? Yeah, but I love Barabbas. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his son for Barabbas, even the one he knew would walk away from Jesus and his free gift and never come back. He loves him. And the nerve, the gall, and the audacity of believers to think, I got saved by grace, but now that I'm in this deep, dark place of bondage, I better work hard to get myself out. What? That's the opposite of the gospel. Are you bound? Are you held under the power of this temptation, this sin? Do you feel like it's controlling you? What are you going to do? I'm going to shake myself free. Stop it! No, you won't! You're no match for the powers of hell and the urges of sin. You will not overcome it, and you will never overcome it. You'll just be another statistic. There's no answer within yourself. Your own marriage, your own goodness, your own discipline, your own devotion will not save your marriage and will not save your kids. There's only one. And he's the one that took your place. He's the one that stood silently on the platform with Pilate and said, yes, let him have Barabbas. Take me. How many times have I stood on that platform with Pilate and Jesus, and I'm the Barabbas, and they start to take my chains off, and I say, no, no, I deserve this. I deserve the guilt. I deserve the shame. I deserve the consequence. I deserve it. Jesus seems to look at me, say, no, son, let me have it. Let me have your sin. Let me have your pain. No, God, I did it to myself. I deserve it. My marriage won't make it. This is what I deserve. I deserve divorce. I deserve poverty. I deserve sickness. I deserve it all. No! God, I'm so ashamed. Give me your shame. God, what if I do it again? I'll still be here. Oh, God, I don't want to hurt you. I love you. I don't want to do this anymore. Give me your sin, son. This is all we got. It's all I got. It's all you got. We can play games. We can play church games. We can pretend like some people are better than others and that's why they're blessed, or we can all come to the honest conclusion that it's God. And it's God alone. The greatest challenge is not your discipline, your devotion, your focus. Your greatest challenge is believing the gospel. Could it be that there's a God with a love so scandalous, so wide, so deep, so vast, so high, so expansive, so welcoming, so inclusive. Let me have your sin, son. Okay. When I give him my sin, I stand in this empty space of forgiveness and acceptance while Jesus walks off to the cross that I deserve. I see him walking to the post to be whipped. As I stand a free man, all the attention is turned now. And I feel the love of God saying, go, son, live your life. I'll pay the price. Where did we get off thinking that we were going to set ourselves free? It's still Jesus. It'll always be Jesus. It'll never stop being the power of Jesus. If his blood is sufficient for your salvation, his blood is
sufficient to sustain you through every challenge and every sin and every temptation. Jesus is enough.
You know, this wasn't planned, and I'm going to have the band come up, but I just really feel it in my heart. If there's some of you in here who maybe have forgotten who you are in Christ, or you have forgotten that you do have authority in Christ Jesus, I'd like to pray for you. So if you wouldn't mind coming up, or maybe there's some of you in here who have been holding on to something and you just will not let it go. Like I said, maybe you're the one that leaves the finance problem there, but you keep running back to it, taking it. If there's something you feel that you need to be set free from, or you just want to come and be reminded that Jesus died on the cross to give you life. If you feel like you are not living your life to the fullest, I would like to pray for you. So if you'd please come up here, anybody that would like that.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.